Doesn't that person bother you? What person? The one like right next to you? No. Why? If you had something like that where even if we're the furthest one away, it can launch us. It, what gets reflected to us is our own parts. That doesn't mean you're a smelly, foul, offensive person. But it means you have an issue about it, and that person's volunteered to remind you where at that moment in time, one of your friends is semi-irritated with it. One goes, oh, this is more important than dealing with that, and the other one doesn't even notice. And so what you'll get, and once you start getting that, what you're getting is your own personal feedback. Instead of it being us against the world, which is that human being, human doing part, we're always supposed to be in action, we're always supposed to be in reaction. If you're busy being in reaction to that person, I promise you, you're not going to be in creation for who you are. But you can take that person and make them part of your creation by saying, okay, what are they reminding me of? I find that person foul and offensive. And so do I. Am I upset because I feel like I should say something? Am I upset because when I'm not presenting myself in a certain way, I don't feel safe? And if I was to appear that way, I might have got killed in my family. In fact, I would have gotten killed in my family. I don't know about yours. If I wasn't addicted to life, I instantly knew what I could have done to get out of here. And that would have been one of those things. I'd have been a dead man by the time I was 5. So what will come up for us is some of our own terrors or fears. Now, in our society, it's not okay to say to people, you're afraid. It's getting better. There's a lot more support in it, but in the past, the way a man is supposed to show they're afraid is to double up their fist and punch somebody's lights out, or yell at them, or take them to court, or I'm smarter than you, or I have more money than you, or my penis is bigger than yours. We have all this crazy stuff that we've all... my testosterone levels are higher than yours. Well, heaven help you, because you're going to have less hair. All those people who had more testosterone than me. Good. I don't want it. I'd rather have this. So the trick in the society, the bottom line to all this is what we're seeing outside of us is a reflection of us, though it isn't an identical reflection. It's just reflecting our issues. And our job is to recognize that we are not powerless, that we've been in charge all along. We're constantly giving ourselves feedback, and to watch out to how we get attached to it. It's okay to be a wreck. It's okay not to be perfect. And there is no such thing as perfect. In fact, you'll find the minute you get to what you thought was a perfect, then you create a new perfect. It's always this carrot after carrot thing. And so the secret, that be still and know that you are God part, is really at some point we finally get to make a decision. We look in our mirror, we see all these people, and we go, you know what? I just love all of them. I love that foul, smelly, offensive person. I love that boring person in the front room. I like that person who doesn't know how to dress. I don't know who that person's barber is, but they should be fired. We just love it all. And we've all had those days, haven't we? We've all had a day where everything just like seems perfect in the world, and the person honking their horn, oh, what a cool horn that car has. I never noticed that before. Neighbors are yelling at each other, this is really entertaining. Get me another beer, honey. Look at her. This is better than the movies. This is better than Cops. In fact, maybe the cops will show up and we'll have cops in our front with a camera. You'll have that perfect day where everything seems perfect. And maybe halfway through that day, it isn't perfect. And things shift, and we can shift so subtly. I fucking hate that. That horn is driving me nuts. Call the cops, honey, they're fighting again. And so what shifted? Did those activities shift, or did us? And so it's always been our perspective, and we're in charge of that. Yes, we are in charge of it, but how hard, here we are asking everyone else to change when we can't even change ourselves. So the key is not so much to change your actions or your behaviors, change how you feel about it. Change your acceptance of it. Accept the possibility that there is no such thing as perfection. My favorite way of wording it is nothing is perfect, and everything else is too. That makes sense? Got that one? That nothing is perfect, and everything else is too? Even just being and doing nothing is perfect. And in America, when I retired and moved to Hawaii, it was the most amazing thing to be in my 20s and have people go, what do you do? Nothing. And then they go, well, I don't know how to talk to you. I don't know how to identify you so I can limit you to something so that I know, should we talk about the weather then? Well, I don't know. What does a person who does nothing talk about? Do they even care about the weather? No. I was wearing clothes at least, so maybe we could talk about clothes. Sometimes I wasn't. It was in Hawaii, after all, and it was hot, and it was my house. But what do you talk about then with somebody? And it was my favorite thing to do, and they say, what do you do? Because what they were asking is that one thing I do for work that identifies me, and at that point in time I wasn't working, so nothing. That's the question you asked me, yes? And in fact, my favorite thing in it is when you ask questions, really, at times I can be really clear, and times I'm not, as is true of all of us, but when somebody asks you, hi, I'm John, and what do you do? When? At 8 a.m. this morning, I think I was still snoring. In fact, I think I was. I think Annie was going, you're snoring. 8:30, I know for sure I was in the bathroom. What do I do? Give me a time. Give me a reference. Give me a date. If we're going to live in linear and you're going to ask me a linear thing, give me a point in time reference. We're so busy being general all the time that it works against us. We've been taught to be general people. The weather's fine. What does that mean? If Annie said, how you doing? I'm okay. What does that mean? Are you an okay? Did I look like an okay? Or, what does okay mean? My okay might be different than your okay. The okay corral certainly wasn't fun. So it all depends. No, I'm not full of bullet holes. So we're being asked, what the sense that I'd like to make of all of this is that you're being asked to just be you and to pick right here and now that just the way you are and who you are is totally love-worthy and you're totally fine, even if they're taking you to court for embezzlement, even if the whole neighborhood says you don't belong here. As soon as you love yourself for who you are, as soon as you just even have the inkling of accepting that you're fine here and now, you start owning that vibration. And when you start owning that place or that belief, all of a sudden all the other people that have that belief show up. And the way I like to word it is I call it white Toyotas. You haven't heard my white Toyota chat, so we're going to do the white Toyota chat. Let's say you're about to buy a new car, and if you've had your car 3 or 4 years, yeah, you probably pay attention to some cars, but you haven't really shopped for a car yet. So now that you're going to shop, you have to really pay attention to what the body, what the models are, what the options are, this and that. And let's say you settle on a white Toyota. Now, up until that point, you probably didn't see many. The minute you decide on a white Toyota, how many do you see that day? The minute you buy one, heaven help you, they're everywhere. I tried to get a color nobody else had. And did they all like read my brain and everybody bought one that day? Or is that the only color they come in? So you'll find, even in 2 tons of steel, which doesn't seem to have life force, doesn't seem to participate in growth, it's alive. It has life force, and as soon as you put your attention on it, where your attention goes, your energy flows. The minute you put your attention on that white 2 tons of steel, they're everywhere. It's like each and every one of you have a big toe on your right foot. Think so. Any amputees in here? Yeah, so now that big toe's been here the whole time, but did it really exist until just now? You think it did. You make the assumption it did. How do you know? And now that you put your attention on it, yeah, it exists. I promise you in 2 more minutes, you'll totally forget it exists. Everybody takes, unless you're a person that takes information in through your toe. Most of you have been taught that you're not allowed to just take, like when you were children, you took information through your entire body. But then at some point you were told, look me in the eyes and listen to what I'm saying. Because you're sitting there, I'm listening, I'm doing just fine. I heard everything you said. And didn't we? And don't our children hear everything we say? Promise you. If they're doing this thing, I'll give you $10 next week. Okay. Next week, where's my $10? They hear you. We have selective hearing. But we hear you, and it's important. And so what we were told to focus, and in school, we're supposed to sit with eyes forward and not wander. It's like I just love that people can listen. You guys don't have to watch me. You can turn around and scratch your heads. You're going to hear what you need to hear. We're in charge of what we let in and what we do with it. What's going on is our choice. This is the most important part. There is no right and wrong unless you think there is. And if the person next to you tells you this is right or wrong and you believe it, heaven help you, you gave your power away. But look at their, before you give your power away to somebody, look at them and see if they have the life you want to have. If they do, it might be worth a shot. If they don't, it certainly isn't worth doing, because that's the result of that belief. And in this land of the wimps and no brave, and in this land of children, by the way, you all had your adulthood first, and you are getting to do your childhood now if you will choose it. How many of you had a childhood? Got one, two, three, a few? There, some of us actually had a childhood. The majority had an adulthood. You were made to be adults. The first thing you got asked when you went into school is, what are you going to be when you grow up? Oh, well, shit, that's a career decision. I'm 5 years old and I have to make a career decision. And it didn't. It's been relentless ever since then. You were held to that one. We have that one thing-itis in America. Now, what's the one thing you're going to be? Well, I wanted to stand up and say, I think I'll be a doctor and a nurse and a paramedic and a patient all at the same time. Yeah. Why not? Why can't you be a patient and a doctor at the same time? It's possible, isn't it? I'd imagine doctors become patients. Mm-hmm. But we didn't say that would be our career. Yes. What's that old that joke? I'd see. It was back in the 60s when we were testing people's sexism and all those parts. A man rushes into the emergency room with his son, and his son is seriously wounded, and the doctor comes out, and the doctor says, "Oh my God, that's my son. I can't work on that person." Why is that so? When the man brought his son in, because the doctor's a woman. But in the 60s, today we're all, we've had enough information where majority of us got that one, even before I finished saying it. I promise you, when I told that one in the 60s, I had to give them a half hour to even think about it. Like, let's take a break, and if any of you figure it out, you can go home now. You got the prize. So we've been set up to be these one things. We start functionally fixing on them. We think a candle is for lighting, and I promise I've seen a few porno movies where they've used candles for other things, and it looked a lot more fun. In fact, they were doing it in the dark because they couldn't light the candle at that time. Just had a little bit of lighting. There's so many options with candles. There's so many options with who you are. Well, I tried to think of something else about candles, but that's the only thing I could remember right now. I mean, you could use it to get the wax out of your ear, but wouldn't it put like more in there? So I wasn't quite sure if it would work that way. They say maybe the wax would attract it. So what you're being asked to do is look at your definitions, quit limiting yourselves to who you think you are based on how you dress, how your hair looks, what's the right height. Do it, but don't limit yourself to it. Be willing to be brave, or to have different opinions, or still look at things differently. Be willing to look at the width of things. Be willing to admit. And this is in this era of everything's got to get fixed, that you've never been broken a day in your life. Yes, you've been unhappy. Yes, you've been happy. Yes, you've been angry. Yes, you've been ecstatic. Those are moment in time experiences. And they are not who you are. They're just who you are right then. Right now, I don't see anybody having a major shit fit where I think we have a postal worker in the room. So it... You know, anybody ready to go get their M16 or their Uzi? And so at that point in time, now some of those people, like Jeffrey Dahmer, we identify him based on what he did a few times a day. We talked about vegetarians. Let's talk about carnivores. How many of you, when you think of Jeffrey Dahmer, instantly identify with his diet preferences? I'm sure there was a lot more to Jeffrey than that, but we never get to hear about it, because in America we only get to identify people by the one thing that they do. That lawyer, that woman lawyer who's after O.J. and O.J. Simpson, the athlete slasher. Yeah, we only know him by two things. Or maybe dad, because they had the kids on stage recently. But the trick with your identities is to really watch how you've been tricking yourself with, or trapping yourself with them. Like, I'm a sick person, or I am in pain, or I need to work on this pain, or let go of this pain. It's been my experience, when I talk to you guys about that cellular reprogramming part, for those of you who've heard it before, that you can, by paying attention to what's going on outside of you, you can get information about you to make changes in your belief systems. Know that there's absolutely no reason why you can't see 24 hours a day 48 hours a day? Was it 72 hours a day? What is it? I don't know what it is now. 72 hours a day. We'll limit it to that. 72 hours a day, 365 days a year, you could be getting positive feedback about you. If you notice something is really beautiful or extraordinarily beautiful, why? Does that then mean there's something that could be extraordinarily ugly that it's in contrast to? I would imagine so. If you're noticing something out of the ordinary is beautiful or fun or comforting or relieving, then there must be something in the way this polarity works here that's the opposite, that is uncomfortable, not beautiful, ugly, or hideous, or frightening. Why not go and look for the things that are wonderful and recognize that they're there to remind you that you still have the judgment about ugly, or you still have the judgment about painful? Would you not mind doing your homework if it was all done in beauty? To tell you how sick you are, you start noticing how beautiful everything is, or to tell you how sick you are, you start noticing ecstatic experiences, and you get all attached in your addiction to the ecstasy, which lets you know that you really want that because you don't want this, and so you have an issue about this. So why not work on your issue about the negative by looking for the beauty in things? But you've all been taught to watch out for the boogeyman, look both ways before you cross the street, money doesn't grow on trees, watch out for the bad guys, don't take candy from strangers. You've always been taught to watch out for the negative. Always. If you're going to go out of the house, be back by dark before the bad guys get you. If you stay out late at night, you obviously are doing sex, because parents don't believe you can do sex in the middle of the day, because they don't. Yeah. Our parents seem to think lights out was the only time you do sex, so that's pretty cool. Daytime works great. I'm going to the library. In fact, it was open then. So we get to watch how is there anybody here who didn't use your parents' belief systems against them? If you're going to the library, you're a good kid. Or for you guys who introduced yourself to the parents, the girls' parents. Yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and I'll have her home. Yes, I have my shiny car. No, it's not a van. Yeah, and they believed all that stuff. I don't believe it, but I don't care. So you get to see what it is you do and don't believe. Watch out for the perspectives. My favorite thing, if you guys will get this, is to really get that maybe you're walking wrecks. You really are walking wounded, and you know what? You don't even give a shit anymore. If you can get to the point that you can brag about being a wreck and you don't care, it'll set you free. The truth will set you free, and you've been taught in America not to address the truth. If you have your Laura Ashley dress on, if you have enough money in the bank, if your car is clean this week, if you have 2.5 children, I always felt sorry for that half a kid. Thank God, thank goodness Sarah's a whole child. Yeah, that half a kid walking around is scary to me. Do you get the top half or the bottom half? I always wonder which half I'd get. I want the top half of the kid. At least when I have a face to say, look at me when I talk to you. The other part looking at me would be kind of scary, wouldn't it? No, don't look at me when I'm talking to you. Don't moon me when I'm talking to you. So it's about maybe considering all this time you've been told you're supposed to go for health, you're supposed to go for well-being, you're supposed to go for abundance and money, and it's as big as the lie about Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, land of the free, home of the brave. I'm not saying it's a truth. I'm just saying consider it. Because so far everything you've considered has led you to this room talking to me. So obviously whatever you considered didn't work, or you wouldn't be here. Yes? Do you think the people that aren't in this room, maybe it worked for? If it worked for you, would you be here? No. If half of it worked for you, half of you might be here. And that's true for some of you, half of you are here. The half that was half off, you can call it half off if you want. So the part is to consider, bottom line, that if searching for health the way you've searched for it, searching for spirituality, searching for the metaphysical principles, or searching for knowledge, or searching for power and money and shiny cars or big houses or whatever it was, or the big house. Sorry, that was an inside joke. Oh, that's another pun, isn't it? Inside joke. I have a lot of people in the room that have had extraordinary changes happen in their life, and a number of us have gone from extreme abundance in one area to another to a very big lack of it. And it's more fun having the lack than it was having the abundance. But if you'd have asked us 10 years ago, we'd have kicked and screamed and told you, no way, Jose. And so we're all going through different definitions. And you might want to talk to some of those people you might think it is, because they might represent your worst fear. It's like stopping and talking to the homeless people. Why not? That they are most people's worst fear. And if you guys don't think you're not half a breath away from that, you're fooling yourselves. The thing is, so what? Again, I must say my favorite, my sick sense of humor must come out at least 5 or 6 times a chat. We all believe that if we become homeless people, we'll get sick and starving and we'll die and nobody will love us, we'll die. The reason we have a homeless problem, if that's what the news likes to call it, a homeless problem, is that they don't die. If they died, there wouldn't be no news about it. The news would talk about how much land they're taking up and that they finally did get their homes. They might only be 6 by 3 by 6, but they're a home. So watch what your fears are, because they're very often not a reality. And how many of you experienced the fears that you're afraid of to even believe them? You're taking on somebody else's belief about what the fear is you should avoid, and did those people ever have that experience either? No. Some of them, yes. To talk to your grandparents about the Depression, they'll give you a chat, but when they passed it on to their children didn't necessarily get to have that. But they certainly got to have the results of it, and then they passed on some unknowing fear onto you about you better learn how to grow apples or have a pencil concession. Save, instead of having gold in the bank, I think you should have pencils. From past experience, they were what's worth. Or instead of pencils these days, maybe you should have floppy disks. Yeah. That's, of course, if there's power still available. So have solar floppy disks. So let's take a 5-10 minute break, and then we'll come to a conclusion. In the world of no purpose or no conclusions, we'll attempt to create one. So we're back and we're doing conclusion. Before we take questions, I want to let you know that I really do believe you all have this ability and many more. And yes, we have certain individual abilities that are greater than other persons, but there's nothing to ever be envious about in someone else, or there's no reason to ever feel limited. You have just the abilities you need to have the most exciting life that you could imagine. And you didn't come here to torture yourselves. Torture has been passed on to you, but you didn't come here to have it. And you can have the prima donna plan. You don't have to have the torture plan. And I really do imagine or believe that it's more in believing is seeing than seeing is believing. And in our society, we've been more scientifically oriented. Everybody's kind of waiting till science. It just makes me laugh when they say, well, what does science think about that? Who gives a shit? You're waiting for science. You're in deep shit. You already know what you need to know. Let science catch up with your ass. In fact, that's what they're doing for many people right now. If you'll just recognize that once you, and it's the same as where your attention goes, your energy flows. As soon as you believe you have a big toe, well, holy moly, there it is. I guess there is such a thing as a big toe. When you put your attention on something, your energy flows there. For those of you who take care of everyone else first and yourself last, guess why you have no energy? Your energy is just going out. Out, out. Yeah, we were talking about that, weren't we? Well, usually in the front is where all the yellow violets or the yellow blues sit. So this is like, we got all you guys right in here. Violet, 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 blue, blue, violet, blue, violet. It's got, you guys are all right here. And so you guys recognize that one. So where your attention goes, your energy flows. And so, but how dare you attention yourself? Well, you got to start believing in yourself. Even just believing in yourself draws some of the energy. It's important to recognize you have an equal right to exist along with everyone else. You've got to believe in you. When I was in Hawaii, I like having different license plates on my car. I love that new stuff because I like to stimulate questions. And my car here says etheric on it. And so people always ask, what does etheric mean? In Hawaii, it said believe. And I just love that one. It was taken here. Had to get a new one. But believe meant a lot of things. Depending on who asked me, I'd say, well, it means be alive. Are you alive? Maybe that's why you noticed it. Or are you being live? Or what do you believe? What is it about you that you want to be that's in your life? And so it just creates stuff. So when I say believing is seeing, being alive is seeing, being truthful to yourself. But you guys all know what your truth is. It's just, it's really scary sometimes to have your truth. You tried doing your truth when you were young and they tried to murder you. psychically, energetically, emotional blackmail, abandonment, torture, or smothering. It could go all sorts of different ways. The homework for you is to be starting to get brave enough to just tell whatever your truth is. And you'll find you really don't know what it is until you start say a truth. Well, I guess that's not it. Let me fine-tune it or let me adjust it. But until you start living it or saying it, you need to take that first step to start taking action. Say it. Even if you're totally wrong, at least there it is and now you can fine-tune it. But if you keep it inside and keep waiting till you've chiseled it and whittled it and made it all polished and perfect, heaven help you. It isn't going to happen. You're keeping it all inside. It's time to bring it out and live it. And so the key here is believing is seeing. Let's look at it this way. I call it retinal blindness also. Or psychic retinal blindness. Let's say in retinal blindness, your brain actually works quite fine. The visual cortex, the reception centers are heavenly. They're all great. Your eye works just fine. Everything's great. But if your retina's detached or cut or incised, the signals don't get through. So your brain works fine. You're perceiving everything fine, but there's no translation. You guys were very psychic, all of you, when you were little. Children are really having all the parts. And then a surgery happened, and the surgery was quit daydreaming. Who do you think you are? Money doesn't grow on trees. You're not here to be a child. You have to grow up. I'm only 3 months old. Can I have 2 more months, please? Just 2, please. They start trying to make a grown-up out of you. Whatever that is, I haven't met one of those either. That's another one we should include in that I haven't met of. I will tell you what I believe an adult or a child is. An adult is somebody who does what they want, when they want, how they want, and suffers the consequences and reaps the rewards and doesn't give a shit. A child is somebody who lets everyone else tell them what to do and lives their life for other people and has no freedom or autonomy or personal direction. I've met a lot of adults in the form of 3 months old, and I've met a lot of children after 12 years of age. and so, it is true, most of us have had our adulthood first and are going to have our childhood now, but we can reframe what childhood, you don't have to follow this definition. You can have childhood the way you always thought it was, as freedom and autonomy. The retinal, you can attach your retina. You can attach the psychic part. It's not hard. It's not like, oh, you must concentrate on a candle and you need to meditate. And again, that bullshit you guys were taught that you have to be sweet and nice and perfect little angels or you won't go to heaven or you're not, who's going to help you? Who wants to help a bad person like you? That's why I'm here. I'm going to say shit and fuck. I'm going to pick my nose. I might even fart. Didn't have any beans today. I'm working on that. Next time. And I promise you, they still help me 24 hours a day. It has nothing to do with me being a good or a bad person, and I've fucked up plenty in my life. And they never went anywhere. It's the biggest lie you've ever been told, is that you have to be somebody different than who you are innately, and that shame that was put on you about who you are, and it created all that struggle and all that efforting. If you have an abandonment issue in your life, I promise you it's because you've abandoned yourself. Period. And so it's time to get yourselves back. And it's time to end that abandonment and bravely be you, even if they line you up on the wall and shoot you. That's why I handed out the Nelson Mandela chat. They put his buns in jail for 20-something years. He came out thinner. It looks like a better diet plan than Pritikin. I mean, he came out looking pretty damn good for 20. But he came marched out the same way he marched in, and his tone of what and his opinions didn't change a bit. In fact, he had 20 years to write that really cool chat. I'd like to have done it in a week, but it might have taken him 20. And for the sake of people listening on the tape, I want to read it in case they wonder what I'm referring to. Our deepest fear, this is his inaugural speech in 1994. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light and not our darkness that most frightens us. Who am I to be, we ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God and you're playing small. Doesn't serve the world. There is nothing enlightening about shrinking so that, he's a violet, by the way, so he's talking about being a shrinking violet. This works for all you guys too. There is nothing enlightening or enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us, it is in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give or consciously, he forgot that part, we unconsciously or consciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fears, our presence automatically liberates others. You guys want extra copies of that? They're up here. The bottom line is, and that's what I want to demonstrate to you guys, here's this obnoxious prima donna, has all these opinions, the planet has had a million opportunities to nuke me, and they haven't. They go and nuke the sweet and loving angels. They go after the ones that just don't have confidence in it. And so you guys get confident in who you are. You'll find that if you're not confident in who you are, that's when the energy comes in. You create that energy, but it's there to remind you that you don't believe it's okay to be who you are. So part of the way of discovering who you are or playing with it is just hanging out here. All this stuff I'm saying, I'm watching all of you start wandering off into, oh yeah, that makes sense, and I did this last week, and that does this. It's designed to send you on your own little journeys, like we'll launch you guys for a few minutes, and launch. This isn't about anything that I said. It's about triggering you to go and do historical or herstorical or hysterical retrospective and see how it relates for you and see where you might be able to use it differently in the future. Just to be your true colors, be your true selves. No more retinal blindness, no more sins of omission, no more living your life for other people, because where your attention goes, your energy does flow. It's about being brave enough to live your life in truth, even if it looks like you're going to starve. I'd much rather be starving and right, starving in myself, than to have a life that looks so abundant and be starving inside. And you guys get to make that decision. And the people that are starving inside but have everything outside will not understand this. They are too scared, and you're not allowed. It is not your job, unless they ask, to point that out to them. The way you get to point it out to them, if you really want to, is live your life in your truth, and they'll notice, because the contrast will be so obvious. If you really want to say something to your family, live your life your way. That's a very clear statement. And it will drive them nuts when they try to change you, or shame you, or guilt trip you, or bribe you, or unbribe you, for those of you who get bribed already. Your job is to trust that when you truly be yourself, the truth does set you free, and that there is abundance. When you're abundantly you is when the universe is abundant with you. You've been told that if you will just refuse to be abundantly you and you be abundantly tortured, the universe will abundantly supply you with stuff. Yeah, it'll give you money, and it'll give you what looks like love and friends, but if you're not happy and you're not being yourself, I promise you won't enjoy it. And say, how did my mom word this one? She goes, you're the most obnoxious. I'm trying to think of an English translation that is with the... My mom swears like a sailor, son. Oh, you got a damn a good for nothing, son of a bitch, I wish you were dead. Yeah, that one? Yeah. You have obnoxious, disgusting, disgustamente, spoiled rotten brat. And I say, yes, that's very true. But you need to also, you left out a few adjectives. Content, happy, autonomous, free of that, excited, inspired. Now, let's talk about you, Mom. You perfect, organized, richer than God, materialist, powerful, obnoxious bitch, unhappy, miserable, dying of bursitis and arthritis. And so let's get all the, if we're going to do adjectives, Mom, let's lay them all out on the table. I am an obnoxious, I am, compared to what you want, I don't listen to what you say. No, I am a brat. I am autonomous. I am selfish. And I am a son of a bitch. And I'm all the whatever it is you needed to say. But I'm sure glad I'm not you. Those are all my badges of courage. Those are all the things that I'm willing to wear in your labels, just but to have my freedom and happiness, if that's how you want to label it. And so you guys get to watch out for all that intensity. You know, we won't love you. I've said this before to people, and recognize that if you've ever been told, if you don't do it this way, we won't love you, they instantly didn't love you. If you don't do it this way, we'll abandon you. They just abandoned you, right then and there. And then you've spent your whole lives trying to do it the way they said so they won't abandon you or won't not love you. Guess what? It already happened. It happened when you were 5 or 4 or 3 or 2. And of course you'll be pissed, and of course you'll be exhausted trying to hold on to a football that's never been there. It's like, no wonder it felt so light. It wasn't there. trying to hold on to something that was taken away a long time ago, and once you finally see that, you have every right to be totally pissed. Guess who you get to be pissed at? Yeah, and it's okay to be pissed at yourself. It's really okay to say you're fucked up and love it. Because until you find that healthy person to mirror, that perfect, I want to meet that person. I believe the minute that happens to you, you like disappear. You don't belong here. You become a white Toyota in a whole different car dealership in this whole other vibrational plane waiting for us to get smart enough to want a white Toyota that weighs an ounce or is in the etheric realm. So the bottom line is just be your true selves. Go ahead and face the demons. Face all the torture they told you would happen. And have you ever not noticed that the minute you give up on something is when you get it? Give up on believing you'll be a failure. Give up on believing all this stuff, and what you'll get is your abundance back, instead of having to exhaust yourselves in the name of getting it. Yeah, there was a couple of questions. Joy. Oh, Joy, she used the bullshit word. So for those of you, and we got asked about that before. Now bear in mind, this is just my opinion.
Yeah.
In this era of separation, all these books and all this literature is about this way versus that way, or twin flames versus this. I believe you're your own twin flame. And I believe that the closer you get to living your life in truth, that you'll start relating to everybody as more proximal to you. All of a sudden you start loving everybody, or you start getting inspired with everybody. Your twin flame is you. We've met the enemy and it is us. Why can't we have met the twin flame and it is us? So in this, I don't believe in that twin flame thing. I do believe in serial monogamy. And so why can't you have serial twin flames then? That twin flame is extinguished now. I think I'll find another. So if you're going to take on that thing, I believe it's very limiting. And I believe it's still about giving, it's almost codependent, putting your power away into something else. I do believe that it is about separation of church and state. It is as above, so below. And the twin flame can be a being, but it'll be a being that most, as you become the most truthful and honest you, is only time you'll meet that person. You will not meet that person when you're totally unconscious. And then the trick is, the minute you get conscious and you like and love yourself, take a dart and throw it in a phone book, and if it lands, Joy, on Josephine the plumber, move her in. Josephine the plumber will clean your pipes just as good as any twin flame will do, because you're up to speed. You won't have any projections. That person will not disappoint you. You're no longer having abandoned yourself. And so they will become a partner instead of a relationship. And when you're ready for partnership, there'll be no more projection. That's what we're all hoping for. It's all what we're working on, is learning enough or loving ourselves enough so that we quit having to make other people help us learn how to relate to ourselves. Once you learn to relate to yourself, you will then be available for partnership. Pick one. It could be your dog. Your twin flame could be that rock on your porch. It doesn't have to be this opposite sexed person that with curly dark hair. Though it probably will be for you. I've already seen that one. So watch out for that, because it's just an opportunity to give your power away. And what you do for others is what you wish to God they would do for you. So just do it for yourselves. Learn how to do it for yourselves. That's if you're going to learn something, learn that. That's the conclusion of this tape. Thanks for listening.